This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to all our listeners, our supporters, our partners, and our first-time listeners. I am going to continue a teaching that I did on Romans, and I'm going to continue on from where I left off in the last podcast of this sequence with Romans 4. And the title of it is Too Good to Be True. So basically, what I had done is a study of the letters of Paul to the Romans, and it got me very excited and it encouraged me. So I put those studies into articles, and now what I'm doing is making them into podcasts. So whether you'd rather read it or listen to it, we want to make that available to you. When I started out reading Romans 4, I can honestly say I literally couldn't read too much at once, because sometimes you just start reading it and it gets so overwhelming and so exciting that your brain can't even take it anymore. Knowing that the grace of God is so good, it's almost something that your natural mind can't absorb all in one big chunk. It boggles your natural mind. So I could only read it in small doses and then meditate on what I read before I could read any more, before I could take any more in. So Romans 4 starts with Paul talking about Abraham. Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in, trusted in God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness, living right and right standing with God. Okay, and that's from the Amplified. What that's saying is Abraham was credited as being righteous. Why? Why was Abraham credited as being righteous? Because he was such a holy man? A man who kept every point of the law? No. As a matter of fact, Abraham was a man with many quote-unquote sins. For example, Leviticus 18:9 says, "You shall not have intercourse with or uncover the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father or of your mother, whether born at home or born abroad." And Leviticus 18:26 says, "So you shall keep my statutes and my ordinances and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither the native-born nor any stranger who sojourns among you." Now, Sarah was Abraham's wife and his half-sister, and that would clearly go against those 2 points in Leviticus. Genesis 20:12 says, "But truly, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother, and she became my wife." So we know that Abraham was not, quote unquote, holy because he had married his half-sister, which it clearly states in Leviticus that would not be the right thing to do according to the law. All right, so we have that. So Abraham also lied about Sarah being his wife to save himself. He was willing to give her over to another man to commit adultery. And he himself committed adultery with Hagar. He was uncircumcised. This is the man that had favor with God. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. He married his half-sister. This man was counted as righteous? Yes. I'm not saying it. God said it. Not because he kept the letter of the law, obviously, but because Abraham had faith in God. Abraham believed God's promises. And because of that, that made him righteous. Now Romans 4:13 says, "For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." So what pleased God was Abraham's faith, not his obedience to the law. And this is in the Old Testament. Even in the Old Testament, God is blessing and favoring faith. The only thing that we can do to please God is to put faith in Jesus as our Savior. This is so great. We just need to put our faith in Jesus to get all the blessings and the favor and the love and the joy and the benefits that God wants to give us. Now, Romans 4:14 says, if it is the adherents of the law who ought to be the heirs, then faith is made futile and empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void, is annulled, and has no power. For the law results in divine wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression of it either. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. That was Romans 4:14, 15, and 16. So basically, Paul is saying there, if the people who adhere to the law are the only ones that are going to be heirs, then faith is just meaningless. And the promise of God is made void. It's annulled. It has no power because the law results in wrath. But if there's no law, there's no transgression, because if there's no rule book, then we don't know what the rules are and how do we follow them. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. And that is purely given out of the act of grace through God. We don't earn it. We don't have to work for it. It's just through grace. Believing it is our job. Having faith in it is our job. God's job is the grace part. Now, skipping on to Romans 4:19, Paul is talking about Abraham again. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Moving on to 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubting, question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So here's Abraham giving praise and glory to God for something that he hasn't seen in the natural yet, but because by faith he's been empowered and now he's encouraged and he's already thanking God for it. Moving on to 21. Fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right? Standing with God. But the words "it was credited to him" were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness, right standing, acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance, and absolving us from all guilt before God. So that was Romans 4:19-25. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. It wasn't because he kept the letter of the law, which the scriptures clearly state he did not. It was because he had faith in God. He believed God's promises. He praised God for the promise before he saw the promise in the flesh. And all that was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God, standing acceptable to God. Even despite all of Abraham's unholiness, God was pleased with him. God favored Abraham. God blessed Abraham. God fellowshipped with him. More great news. I remember we had a question in one of the Q&As was, will God not fellowship with me if I have some sin or I'm tempted by a sin or I'm falling from the... Sin just means missing the mark, okay? It doesn't mean you're in some deep hole or something. It means you missed the mark and God already forgave you for every sin that you ever committed or ever will commit. So get over that. God will fellowship with you. He loves you because in his eyes you haven't sinned. All sin has been wiped clean. Of course he's going to fellowship with you. Of course he's going to favor you. Of course he's going to bless you because he sees you as perfect. He sees you as sinless. And he did it for Abraham, and that was before Jesus came. That's Old Testament. And he favored Abraham and blessed Abraham and fellowshiped with Abraham. Is this not great news? Here's more great news. Going back to Romans 4:23 and 24, it says, let me just read it again, but the words "it was credited to him" were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes 6:2, righteousness, right standing, acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us, to me and you, also, who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance, and absolving all of us from all guilt before God. So not only for Abraham in the Old Testament, but for us now, because we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead. How awesome is that? It truly is the too good to be true news. And here's what's great. It is true. So Romans 4:8 says, blessed and happy and to be envied is the person of whose sin the Lord will take no account nor reckon it against him. We are that person. We are blessed and happy and to be envied because God takes no account of our sin because he sees us as sinless because Jesus took care of sin. So let's look at Romans 4:5. But to one who, not working by the law, trusts, believes fully in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness, the standing acceptable to God. Romans 4:5. What a statement Paul is making here. Paul had countered the false doctrine that acting righteous could make people righteous. Like, how many people do you know that walk around trying to be righteous? We can't do it. We never could. That's why Jesus came. Paul is countering that false doctrine that by acting righteous, you could then become righteous. Here's where Paul dropped the bomb, that God justifies the ungodly. What? Blasphemy! We might add from the context that this is the only kind of people whom he justifies. That's because he doesn't have any other kind of people to justify. All people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. This verse should forever dispel any delusion that people might have of trying to earn God's favor by their performance. That was a quote from Andrew Womack. So here's Paul countering that doctrine that we've heard, that false doctrine that, you know, you've got to try and be holy. You've got to act righteous. Otherwise, God's not going to be pleased with you. And when you act righteous, then you are righteous. That is ridiculous. We could never be righteous. That's why Jesus had to come, because we could never fulfill the points of the law. So when Paul said that, that was a pretty big deal, because he's basically saying God justifies the ungodly. Well, of course he justifies the ungodly. Who else is there to justify? We were all ungodly. We were all ungodly. We were all sinners. And there it is in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when Jesus died, he died for everybody. Everybody. No one left out, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the covenant of circumcision was given to Abram in Genesis 17:9-14. Now, in verse 14, the Lord said that any man who did not carry the sign of the covenant in his flesh was to be killed. This placed a great importance on the act of circumcision. Now, Paul says in Romans 4:3-13 that Abraham had already been justified by faith before he was circumcised. Let me say that again. The covenant of circumcision was given to Abram. Notice that name hadn't changed. In Genesis 17:9-14. In verse 14, the Lord said that any man who did not carry this sign of the covenant in his flesh was to be killed. This placed a great importance on the act of circumcision. Okay, so I'm repeating myself. Paul says in Romans 4:3-13 that Abraham had already been justified by faith before that took place, before that scripture. So Abraham was uncircumcised when he had been justified by faith. So before he was circumcised, it was Abram's faith that saved him at least 13 years before the Lord commanded Abram to be circumcised. I really want you to understand that before Abraham, when he was still Abram, when he was still uncircumcised, his faith saved him. God still favored him and blessed him before the Lord commanded him to be circumcised. So the Jews had focused on the outward act of obedience instead of the inward act of faith. So that's what Paul was coming up against, this group of people that said you still had to be circumcised, and Paul saying, no, you don't have to be circumcised. And here was his beautiful letter outlining and pointing to all the scriptures that says, no, this has been dealt with. It wasn't Abraham's obedience that got him favor and fellowshipping with the Lord and blessing. It was Abraham's faith. And this is the source of the contention between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. They were emphasizing all the outward acts that the Lord had commanded and were totally disregarding the motives of the heart. Jesus was saying that if an individual would cleanse his heart, then his actions would inevitably change too. So it was like you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is still dirty. The truth of salvation by faith had been lost in Judaism. And even though many of the Jews had come to put faith in Jesus as their Savior, they were trying to mix the two. They were trying to mix faith and keeping the commandments and keeping the law as a requirement for salvation. So here's where Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is really countering all those objections. The condition of a person's flesh is not the important thing. It doesn't matter if that flesh is circumcised or holy. It is the condition of the spirit that matters with God. Today, the act of circumcision is not the issue, but acts of holiness are still deemed by many as essential for receiving salvation. So we don't usually argue whether someone needs to be circumcised or not circumcised, but there are other issues that people will insist that need to be met before we're saved. We need to be a certain level of holiness before we're really, really saved, before we really, really have access to the blessings and the fellowship and all of that that goes with it. That same legalistic thinking lives on today in the doctrine of, for example, water baptism, church membership, and other acts of quote-unquote holiness, which some people still preach are necessary for salvation. So let me just make this really, really clear. Faith alone in the love of God, as expressed through Jesus, is the only, one and only thing that God demands for justification. Can I say that again? Faith alone in the love of God, as expressed through Jesus, is the only thing that God demands for justification. Religious rites mean nothing. Church membership means nothing. Other acts of holiness, water baptism, mean nothing. The only thing that counts is being a new creation, according to John 7:21-23. I hope that answers some questions, and I encourage you to look up these scriptures for yourself, to dig into the word yourself, to research all of Romans and all of the scriptures, because there's such rich knowledge to be found in it and rich revelation. I hope you enjoyed that, and I will be doing the next one very soon. Thank you for listening. We love you. God loves you. Jesus is Lord, and stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.